Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is a privilege we have to study the Word of God together. The Bible is the clearest record we have of Jesus' time on earth. It has stood the test of time, and it is the anvil that has worn out many hammers. Praise God, it has been preserved, and we have the main character as our teacher and the one we worship. It is our desire, imperfect as we are, to learn, obey, and live out the teachings of Jesus. In short, we want to be a disciple of Jesus. And we wish everyone, everywhere, would experience the purpose and joy that we've found. Today, we will continue our study in Mark. Our title is The Cost of Discipleship, and this is a continuation of the last lesson. J. Mark will do a short review, then we will get into the rest of today's lesson. Let's go with him now to Mark 8.
In the previous episode, I stated that you and I must take several actions to accept the costs that are associated with discipleship, with following Christ. The first action I presented was to give up your identity. And so together we looked at the profound act of surrendering to Christ, choosing to follow His plans rather than our own. And that is truly a necessary step in our journey of discipleship. And then the next action was to take up your cross. And we examined the extreme physical suffering that was experienced by those who died on crosses during that time when Jesus lived. And we made the practical application of how painful it is for us to put our bodily appetites and our desires to death. And so as we resume our study, I will read the text, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Returning to the second action, it was take up your cross. Why did Jesus use this terminology? It was because this was the death he was facing, and from his struggle in the garden, we know that his flesh recoiled from it. It seems to me that Jesus wanted to impress upon his disciples that this excruciating method of death would be to the physical body what death to self would be to the spiritual and emotional parts of our being. You know, the flesh dies hard. It wants to be in control. But Jesus says, count the cost. If you're not willing to take up the cross and die the kind of death that I'm going to die, you can't be one of my disciples. And I would remind you of this. No one is compelled to take up the cross and become a disciple of Christ. Who in their right mind would voluntarily submit to such suffering and perhaps death? But you know, to answer that question, we have to look at the alternatives. Notice with me in verse 36 that Jesus used the terms of commerce, profit and loss. He said, "Whoever protects his physical life, whoever cares more for his body than for the Lord's commands, will lose his spiritual life. He'll lose his soul." Now that doesn't mean we need to neglect our bodies. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there are other scriptures that deal with that subject. What is in view here is the focus on sacrificing the spiritual to protect the physical. As I said earlier, this commitment is voluntary. There's no coercion. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you must take up the cross. You must take up your responsibility to actively crucify the flesh, and it's something that you and I have to do every day. Now, some people might think that all of this talk about denying self and crucifying the flesh, oh, that's depressing. But you know, it's a reality, and it's a reality we don't hear much about in today's version of what it means to be a Christ follower. Are you and I willing to give up the glory of the Son of Man, the glory of the Father, and the glory of the holy angels, for the temporary applause or approval from men? You know, for the true disciple of Jesus, suffering is a reality. And the source of that suffering won't just be the world. No, much of it will come from those who are religious, people who profess to follow Christ. That's the way it did for Jesus and his disciples. It was the religious people who created the most trouble. The message of the cross is offensive. It provokes a reaction. But Jesus said, if we take up the cross daily and follow him, then we are assured of eternal life. The coming glory will far outstrip anything the world has ever seen. And so Jesus said, whoever is willing to lose their life for the gospel's sake will gain eternal life as well as the Father's approval. What a promise. When Mark recorded these words of Jesus to take up your cross, he used grammar which means do it right now. And that's my counsel to you. If you've never taken up the cross, do it now. Or maybe in the past you have taken up the cross, that instrument of death, and you promised that you would cling to it until all of self is crucified. But now as you look back over your life, you realize you've laid it down. You've gone back to your own way. And so as I prepared this teaching, I realized my need for repentance and renewal, a fresh embrace of the cross of Christ. You and I can make any claim we want to about being a Christ follower, but remember, unless we are willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, we cannot be his disciple. This is the second action you and I must take in embracing the cost of discipleship. The final action is follow up your commitment. After you've given up your identity and taken up the cross, then you must follow up on your commitment. Jesus told his hearers, follow me. You know, that was simple. It was direct. It was explicit. It was instruction given in the past tense, signifying that it begins now and it continues into the future. You know, it is important to begin well, but it's not enough. There are some people who expect to get to heaven based on a decision they made years ago. I don't know. Maybe you're like that. I'm not denying that your decision was valid. But how are you following Christ now? What impact does your initial decision back there have on your choices and your walk with the Lord today? The direction of your life is much more important than where you've come from. I'm reminded of the word of the Lord to the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 18 of his prophecy. He wrote, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die." Following through on your commitment will make you stand out because your primary desire will be to please Jesus, not others, not yourself. And that will affect your choices, all of them. It will make you different from your unsaved friends and family members, and even many church members. Many today want the rewards and the benefits of being a follower of Christ without having to make the sacrifices that Jesus demands of us. If you're committed to following Jesus, you can plan on it. You'll face rejection and ridicule. Some people might call you narrow-minded or old-fashioned or something like that. Others will say, he takes the Bible too literally. They may say things like this, do you really think God expects us to follow that part of his word today? The world has changed. Or maybe this, you don't have to do all that stuff. You know something, they're right. You don't have to do all that stuff. There's no force. But if you're truly born again, you will want to obey Christ's commands because you love him. The Apostle Paul said it well in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in verse 38, when the Son of Man comes, he will not be ashamed to call you one of his. Instead of losing your soul, as Jesus speaks about in verse 36, you will be welcomed into the glorious presence of the Father and the Son and all the holy angels. Jesus does not derive satisfaction from our pain, but he values the results of that pain when we bring it to him as part of our cross-bearing. The sacrifices he asks us to make are made with our best interests in mind. The reverses you and I face, they're not the hand of blind fate. They have purpose. They have meaning. God has promised that he orders our steps and that everything works together for our good. But you know, so often we focus on the immediate, what feels good right now. Jesus wants our focus to be like his. He wants us to take the long view. He wants us to say with him, I do only those things which please the Father. He wants us to follow faithfully until the end. And the reward? The reward is eternal life. 70 or 80 years or even 100 here on earth seems like a long time because our minds can't grasp the concept of something that never ends. But you know, these brief years are just preparation for eternal life and eternal glory in the presence of God the Father. Think about it. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more broken relationships, no more sickness. That's the reward for following Jesus. Have you counted the cost of being a disciple? Have you given up your identity and accepted the identity Jesus has for you? Have you found joy in a life surrendered to him? Have you taken up the cross of death to self? Do you still carry it, or did you lay it down somewhere? Have you given up the approval of men to gain the greater glory that Jesus offers? Are you dying to self every day so that Christ can live his life through you? And finally, are you following through on your commitments? Are you still in the race, or have you dropped out? Do you understand that the cost of discipleship is more than offset by the eternal rewards? At the end of life, will you hear those words of commendation from the Father? Well done, good and faithful disciple. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or will you hear the opposite? Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you. Today, you can still choose.
Today, we can choose. What a sobering, important decision. Consider your choice carefully. Remember, at the beginning of this teaching, J. Mark discussed cheap grace. Many use this to water down Jesus' teaching and make it easier. After hearing these two lessons, it is clear the grace Jesus offers is definitely not cheap grace. If you missed the first lesson, or if you have any questions about today's lesson, please let us know. You can contact us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. Go to the Partner tab on the top right. Under this tab is the Contact Us. From there, you can message us directly. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks again for being with us for today's lesson on discipleship. You know, as humans, we are worshipers. We admire things. Our plea is for you to worship and admire Jesus. Go now and be his best disciple.